little cohorts and asked questions, and this serious survey found that 45% of non-churchgoers think that most Christians are hypocrites. Ouch. On the one hand, I can understand the judgment. It was only a few years ago that the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sex Abuse disclosed horrendous stories of abuse by church leaders. That is not just hypocrisy, that is evil. Of course, it makes sense that a watching world is skeptical of Christianity. Then last year, I read a book by Kosti Hinn. Now, he's the nephew of a famous TV pastor called Benny Hinn. He used to work for his uncle. He enjoyed the extravagant lifestyle that came from working with this ministry, expensive cars, expensive jets, world travel, staying in hotels booked out at $20,000 a night. And eventually, he realized he needed to step out of that ministry because of its hypocrisy. You see, this ministry would travel into the poorest of poor countries, and they would claim that they could heal any sickness, any disability. You just had to turn up with your money. One of Kosti's jobs with a few others was to filter out the people who would get on stage. And so it was only those who got onto stage who could be healed by sleight of hand. Hundreds of thousands of people would turn up to each of these events, collectively hand over millions of dollars they could not afford. No wonder some people look in on Christianity and say, hypocrisy. And then did you hear in the news about Carl Lentz during December, a former lead pastor of Hillsong in New York? He was famous for being the pastor of Justin Bieber. If you're over the age of 30, Google Justin Bieber, you'll find out who he is. Unfortunately, Carl Lentz is now infamous for his sexual misconduct. And the list goes on. So on the one hand, I see why Christians and hypocrisy made our Take a Shot series. On the other hand, I was surprised because most of the Christians I know, and I know a few, I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, are not hypocrites. And so here's what we're going to do. Here's what I'm going to do with you this morning. First of all, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. Then I'm going to define hypocrisy. Then I'm going to give you a project. That's what everyone wanted at the beginning of the year, didn't they? Introduce Jesus, define hypocrisy, and I'm going to send you out with a project. That's where we're headed. Now, why am I introducing you to Jesus? Well, to tell you that, I actually want to introduce you to a song. It's a great guitar song. It's one of the greats. You hear it, you want to play it. You want to rock along to it. This is going to make you rock. Are you ready for it? Oops, a little nervous. It's been a while since I toured. Now, is that the greatest guitar song ever? You're allowed to say no, okay? You're allowed to say no. Pretty lame, if anything. Okay, guys, let's listen to the original now. Greatest guitar song ever. Oh, yeah. Even you classical musicians were rocking on the inside. Look, Christians are supposed to represent the best of Christianity to the world. However, at best, we are only a cover. Now, yes, usually our cover looks a lot more like the original than my cover of Sweet Home Alabama. But at best, we're only a cover. That's why I am introducing you to Jesus. See, if you have a hang-up with Christianity because of hypocrites, I hope you can see just how important it is and how beneficial it will be to meet the one who truly, who perfectly, authentically is Christian. Jesus is our faith. And Jesus gives us the core message of Christianity, and that's how I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. Now, there's many places in the Bible we could go to see the core message of Christianity. I'm going to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have a Bible, feel free to open it. It's also on the screen behind us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, here am I introducing you to Jesus. Now, I would remind you, this message is so core, so important, we need to be reminded. Life is busy, life is full, life is hectic, lots of things we run around to. We need to be reminded of this core message. I would remind you, brothers or brothers and sisters. You see, when Jesus draws people in, he brings us into a new family. He creates something new. And so as Christians, we call each other brother, sister. Remind you, brothers, sisters, of the gospel. Now, gospel literally means good news. And boy, do we need good news in a world full of bad news. Christianity is good news. There is a God. He made you. He loves you. He can save you. He's coming back again. This broken world has a finish date. In Jesus, there is hope. There is eternal hope. The message of Jesus is good news. This gospel I preached to you. The core message of Christianity is something that needs to be spoken. It cannot actually fully be shown. Now, yes, God wants Christians to love all people. And so we need locally and globally to do welfare. But we also need to speak this gospel message, speak this good news. Christianity is about Jesus, and people need to understand Jesus. Jesus lived, he died, he rose. That cannot be shown. And so our deeds are important, but our declaration is crucial. This gospel that I preach to you, which you received. This is a message that needs to be received. It needs to be taken on board. A decision needs to be made. That's why I'm introducing Jesus. I actually want you to receive him. Make a decision for him. In which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. We've got to continue in the message that we received. My wife and I, 24 years ago, we made a decision together. We got married. Now, that decision is one we need to step into every day. We need to hold on to it, stand firm in it, receive Jesus and continue in him. Jesus is not an insurance policy. Jesus is life-altering, future-determining, everyday decision with Jesus. No point starting, not committing. That would be vain. Verse 3. For I delivered to you of first importance. Boy, oh boy, how much information do we have at our fingertips every time we pull out our phone that's connected to the internet? The world is full of information. Now, some information is more important than others. This good news of Jesus is most important. What I also received. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this, what I'm reading from. It's called 1 Corinthians because he wrote it to a church in Corinth. And Paul is saying this message he didn't create. He received it as well. Christianity is not to be edited, altered, or changed. There's not one version of Christianity for that generation, another for that generation, one for this culture, one for that culture. 1 + 1 = 2. Christianity as well is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christianity is not to be edited, which is important, because every generation wants to be God's editor. We think we know better than God, but we're not God's editors. We're God's messengers. And so Paul passed on what he received, that Christ died. Look it up. Even from non-Christian historians, our faith is based in history. Jesus lived and Jesus died. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for you. Christians follow Jesus because Jesus died for us. We are all sinners. Now, our culture says, no, we're basically good people. God looks in and says, no, he sees perfect and imperfect. God sees sinners and one Saviour. Jesus died for sins. And Jesus died for sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Friends, this is the book that God wrote. It's true. It's always true. It's God's book. And the central message of God's book is this: Jesus died for your sins. We are sinners. Jesus is the Saviour. And we need to receive Jesus. Jesus died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures. He was buried. Jesus really died. He was buried. He was buried, and then he was raised on the third day. Wow. Christians celebrate, we remember the death of Jesus on Good Friday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the third day, we celebrate that Jesus has been raised from the dead. God's people used to gather on a Saturday. We now gather on a Sunday. Jesus has been raised. This is part of the central message of Jesus. He was raised in accordance with the Scriptures. Keeps coming back to this. Keeps coming back to the Bible. The Bible said Jesus would come. The Bible said Jesus would live without sin. The Bible said Jesus would be betrayed. The Bible said Jesus would die. The Bible said Jesus would die for our sins and then be raised again. The Scriptures, and that he appeared, verse 5, to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. People saw him. People saw him alive. Christianity is not based on speculation, but on revelation. Christianity is not a philosophy, it's history. Christianity is based on historical fact, not a fairy tale, but factual. 500 people saw Jesus alive. It's true. Verse 8. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. The apostle Paul hated Jesus. He murdered Christians. But God reached in by grace and saved that chief of sinners, all by grace. This is the core message of Christianity. Jesus is the center. It's all about Jesus. We are sinners in need of a savior, and Jesus is that savior. We have a problem, and Jesus is the solution. This is the core message of Christianity. This is our Jesus. Listen, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. And so it's worth asking the question, what happens on the other side? Jesus went there and he's come back and he now says, if you follow me, you can have a great forever eternity. This is good news. This is Jesus. This is our core message. Okay, I've introduced you to Jesus. Now let's define hypocrite. Our English word hypocrite comes from an ancient Greek word that means someone acting out a part of a character in a play. In ancient Greek plays and ancient Greek dramas, the actors on the stage would hold up a big mask to be the character that they were portraying. And so if we take that and draw it into our modern use of hypocrite, a hypocrite is someone who masks her or himself by pretending to be someone else. And so in our Bible reading that Lynn brought to us from Luke chapter 18, there was the religious guy, the Pharisee, standing with all of his good stuff and pointing out everybody else's bad stuff. And then there was this tax collector. Everyone in Jesus' day, when they heard tax collector, would have gone, boo. Nobody liked the tax collector. They were bad. And all the tax collector did before God, he couldn't even lift up his head. He said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who was the hypocrite? It was the Pharisee, pretending he didn't have any problems with God. He was the actor, pretending he was right with God. Jesus said, it was the one who admitted their sin before God that ended up walking away with being right with God. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about religious hypocrites. Jesus called religious people who did their good deeds in front of everyone, prayed their fancy prayers in front of everyone, hypocrites. Jesus called religious hypocrites who spoke the right words about God but whose heart was far from God, hypocrites. There's an entire chapter in the Bible where Jesus tears strips off religious hypocrites. And so if you've got a problem with church-going hypocrites, you're in good company. But if you think most Christians are hypocrites, I want to ask, how many Christians have you hung out with? See, a Christian is not someone who puts on a mask and pretends to be perfect. A Christian is someone who knows they are a sinner, but has a great rescuer. You and I are not perfect. We know this. We don't even hit our own standard. We profess one thing, but we don't always practice it. So I'm really disappointed with the Dalzell family. They said they're not perfect. You hypocrites. You see, we need another word, don't we? We all miss the mark on what we profess and what we set our mind to do. And we'll practice other things. And the Bible gives us another word besides hypocrite for that. It is sinner. Sin literally means missing the mark. And so I want to give us four differences between a sinner and a hypocrite. They're on the screen, are they? Magic. The first one is, all people are sinners. All hypocrites are sinners. Not all sinners are hypocrites. This is so important, particularly if you're a Christian. Satan wants to say, sinner equals hypocrite, hypocrite equals sinner. You're such a hypocrite. No, there's a difference between a sinner and a hypocrite. Secondly, a sinner fights to live up to God's word. A hypocrite fakes living up to God's word. Fighting versus faking. Fighting equals God is perfect. I am not, therefore there is always room for improvement. Faking equals, I'm not even going to try to be perfect, but I'm going to fake that I am so that others will think that I'm perfect. Christians fight to become like Jesus, not fake that they are already like Jesus. A sinner uses the Bible as a mirror. A hypocrite uses the Bible as binoculars. Jesus actually spoke about this one. He said, Don't worry about the speck in somebody else's eye. Worry about the log in your own eye. The religious hypocrite grabs the Bible and says, this is your problem, this is your problem, this is your problem. This is why Jesus had a go at self-righteous religious hypocrites. They would not analyze their own behavior. They used the Bible as binoculars. The Christian uses the Bible as a mirror. Look at my faults. Look at my failures. Look at my flaws. And fourthly, a sinner is in change process. A hypocrite is not in a change process. Because a hypocrite is faking faith, they don't need to grow, do they? A Christian is not perfect, but they are making progress. Now, I forgot to mention that four list, that's from a Christian philosopher, Greg Kuchel, if you want to look it up. Saw some of you taking photos. Friends, the Christian looks at Jesus, sees that Jesus is perfect, sees his or her own faults, failures and flaws, and realizes there is work to be done. So don't hold up God's standard. See where you fail and call yourself a hypocrite. No, hold up God's standard. Use the mirror and then enter into God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's fatherly kindness into a change process of becoming more like Jesus. Christianity is not about perfection. It is about progress. Most Christians I know are not hypocrites. They're sinners in progress. Jesus is perfect. The church is just a cover. Now, yes, we are supposed to be a good cover, but we have many faults, failures, and flaws. So if you have been hurt by a Christian, if you have been hurt by the church, we want to talk to you. We want to hear your story. We want to hear where there's any possibility of restoration and understanding. Or we want to help if you're currently in that situation. Now, I need to wrap this up. And so here's the project that I'm going to give you. You see, if all you want to do is talk about hypocrisy, we can make up quite a list. Look at that guy, look at that guy, look at that guy. We could point out quite a few. But that doesn't help you or me with the really big questions of life. One day, we're going to die. What's going to happen? We're going to meet God. We're going to meet our Maker. What's going to happen? And so the real question is not, why are Christians such hypocrites? Here's the real question. Is Jesus a hypocrite? That's the project I want to leave you with. You answer for yourself, is Jesus a hypocrite? And I want to look at two passages so you can assess. We're going to hear Jesus speak and say these things. The first one comes from John chapter 10, verse 31. It's on the screen there. This is Jesus speaking. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said he is God. So Jesus is either God or he's a hypocrite. If I stand before you and say, I am God, what are you going to think? Either he's about to do something cool illustration, because he's a preacher, or he really needs a holiday, or we need to get him some help. That's a cult leader. I don't have any credentials to stand before you and say, I am God. Friends, Jesus stands before you and says, I am God. And he has every credential to make that claim. He lived a perfect life. He died for you. He has been raised to life, and he now sits as ruler over the entire universe. Jesus is God. What do you say? Hypocrite or God? The next passage is just a couple of pages over in my Bible, and Jesus said this in John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said he is the only way to heaven. And so you have to work this out for yourself. You could be like the Pharisee. Say, you've got no problem. I'm all sorted with God. I'm righteous before God. All sorted. You could be like the atheist who says there is no God. You could just go on your own search. Find some other way to spirituality and God and the afterlife. All of which would be saying, Jesus, you're a hypocrite. Jesus is either telling the truth or he is the world's biggest hypocrite. And so this is the decision you need to make. You can say, yeah, but look at those church-going hypocrites. We're around. But that's not the point. Jesus is. Christianity rises and falls on Jesus Christ. What say you? Hypocrite or God? And if he's God, you need to worship him. And we want to help you do that. That's why we're running this Take a Shot series. We want to hear what your objections are so we can dialogue with each other. So come along for the next 3 weeks. Come along to the life course that Jordan just advertised. It is a great environment for you to keep putting all your questions on the table, to interact and find out who this Jesus is. Jesus said he's God, and he's the only way to heaven, and he wants to offer everyone eternal life. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you are a God who not only made us, but wants to be with us, wants a family. And so even after we sinned, you made a way to life. You sent Jesus to live and to die and to be raised again as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for anyone here, particularly for anyone who has been hurt by the church. Father, I pray for anyone who is having questions about Christianity because they know hypocrites within the church. Oh, Father, would you keep revealing yourself to them? And Father, for those of us who you have saved, for your church, for your family, would you keep helping us grow more and more and more into the likeness of your Son? We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.